Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
To his mother. So here we have to
you know, as men understand that, you know, as we go about life, as we journey through decisions that we make, as we journey through the choices that we make, we have to understand that those choices affect people other than ourselves. I know as young men, sometimes we think, well, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. This is my thing. Nobody should have anything to do with it. Nobody else's business. But in the end, what happens is our lives are a reflection back to our parents, and they either make them glad or it can make them sad. And, you know, we have to really focus in on making the wise decision. And that's why we have, you know, want to do this first word. So we got Dr. Grimes on the line. Dr. Grimes, you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
All right, how about yourself?
Praise the Lord. I'm doing well. It's interesting that this morning in this Proverb 10, where it talks about a wise son making his father glad and his mother, a foolish son making his mother heavy. I know there's been plenty of times where I played the role of the fool myself and was a disappointment to my father and mother because I wasn't wise. And, you know, sometimes we have to have that wake-up call to realize that, you know, when I'm out there doing my thing, that it's not just affecting myself, but it's affecting everyone else around me. And I have to be wise enough to understand that and to make the proper decision, not based upon just what's good for me, but also what's how it's going to affect.
Yeah, I agree 110% that, you know, we have to be cognizant of the effect that the decisions that we make affect those around us, those in our household. And I think that when I look at this passage of scripture, that it's definitely referring to parents who played a role in raising their child. You know, in the society in which we live, there's a lot of absent parents. But I think have parents that are there that have invested the time, energy, and resources to raise a child, there's an expectation that comes that, okay, I've poured this into you, I've taught you, I've prepared you for life. And so when they sit back and now they have this child that they've prepared for life, that they've given what they felt they needed, and then they watch their child go out there and act a fool, I think that's when it really affects the parents all the more, because it's like, but I told you, but I prepared you so that when you got to this, you were supposed to do this, and yet you still went and did this. And I mean, I'm a witness, but personally, I know from my own experience being that fool and afterwards thinking about, you know what? They told me about days like this. They prepared me, and still I went and I messed up, and it definitely brings grief to your family.
Yeah, and that's not a good feeling, because it's like, you know, while you're in the heat of the moment, you know, you're thinking it's all about you, but then all of the other ramifications are like, wow, I didn't know it was going to affect my mom like that. I didn't know it was going to affect my dad like that. The people around me, and then it just brings, like the word says, heaviness of disappointment, heaviness of frustration to a family. But like you said, everyone has played the fool at one time or another. And the thing is, for God to have put these instructions in the Word for us to be able to avoid those situations, I think it's just an awesome thing that we have the Bible, that we have these instructions from God that gives us the way, the path to not get into these situations. And that's what I like about the first word, is that we have the ability to share with men, hey, you don't have to make these mistakes. Learn from the mistakes of people that have already went down that road, and you can make fewer and fewer of them. And I think that's the thing about fellowshipping with brethren is, you know, we're not coming as perfect men, but we're coming with men who have experienced many different things in life and have some wisdom to be able to pass on, to say, hey, you know, this might look good, this might feel good, you might think this is going to get you ahead, but take it from one of the old heads that this is not the way you should be going. And you know, I encourage all of the men to get together, because even sometimes we can learn something from a younger person. You can learn something from a person who has learned things from God at whatever age it is, from a child all the way up to the most senior person. And this is what it's all about. And when you study these proverbs, you're like, wow, they're little short verses, little short statements with impact. I mean, power-packed impact that would cause you to have such great differences in your life, for the positive rather for the negative. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for the Word of God. I'm grateful for the men of God who have decided to get on, you know, in the morning or Sunday morning and just talk real talk about, you know, hey, this is what God says. This is what happens when you don't do what God says. And so, you know, don't play the fool. It's easy to play the fool. Fools, you know, they go and a lot of times they think it's funny. They think it's cute. They think, you know, it's going to make them look good. But in the end, if you're not doing it in the manner that God wants you to do, you're going to end up hurting more people. And that's going to make it even worse, because now you feel bad. Now they feel bad. And it takes some time to recover from playing the role of the fool. Dr. Brown?
Yeah, I think that you hit on something so important a little while ago when you were talking about God giving us the blueprint. And, you know, when we go into the store, and sometimes you might purchase an entertainment center or a table, and there might be a lot of parts in the box. But in that box, you have the instruction guide that tells you how to put it together. And very often, many of us will just dump all the pieces out and begin putting stuff together where we think that it goes. And when by the time we finish, there's still some pieces left, and we're trying to figure out, well, what is this stuff for? But if we had followed the instructions that were already in the box and given to us, when we finished, we would have had a finished product that looked like the picture on the box, and we wouldn't have all these leftover pieces. And so it's just so amazing. Yeah, it's so simple, but it's so amazing that God has truly given us the blueprint. He's given us the blueprint. He's given us avenues and opportunities where we can learn and glean wisdom from others. And yet we, in our own flesh, we continue to make decisions and we continue to try to do things and figure it out on our own, when God has said, look, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these other things are happening. You're trying to figure out how to be wealthy. You're trying to figure out how to get love in your life. You're trying to figure out how to get healing. You're trying to figure all these things out. But if you would just seek me and follow my blueprint, I'd get that all to you.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. I resemble that remark many Christmas Eves, trying to do it without the instructions. And I'm frustrated and eventually having to go back to the instructions. We got another call on the line, 6221. You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good evening.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
We're doing good. We're talking about Proverbs 10, verse 1. We're talking about how the son can play foolish, and it ends up play foolish instead of being wise, and how it affects the father and the mother. And we were just talking about how God has given the instructions on how to be wise. And you know, this is a Solomon. Proverb, and Solomon, Jesus said there was none wiser before him, or there's going to be none wiser after him. And so we have this treasure of instruction that would allow us to not play the role of the fool in society. But too many times we go about it on our own, and we end up paying the consequences, and those consequences also affect those that are around us. And we just wanted to get your input on that. Is Dr. Jordan, are you Jordan?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I agree with what Jason has said, you know, with the instructions, but we ignore it by our own instincts. And what I have to say on that is, you know, some people do have to play the fool, you know, very few times in order to get it right, because, you know, it also depends, you know, their environment or what they've been raised or how they've been raised. You know what I'm saying? You know, it all depends on the person's heart and their environment and what they're adapted to. So, you know, we have to change their adaption in order to get it right. You know what I'm saying? You know, like I myself, I used to get angry at things, but then I realized being angry was only hurting myself. You know, it wasn't really hurting anybody. You know, technicality, you know. Or, you know, when you get mad, you bust a blood vessel, you know, or blah, 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 you know, especially over pointless, meaningless things. And then when it came, you know, another example I would use on myself is, you know, you know, I used to be a fool in class, you know what I'm saying? I didn't, you know, not to impress or be popular, but it was just, you know, that's just what I was used to. You know, I was used to being a fool. I had to adapt growing up.
I'm on this,
and, you know what I mean? And I eventually got it right, you know, with the help of the grace of God. And,
yeah.
You know, with the good, you know, and the type of heart, and you know, and I had to change my mindset. You know, you just got to adapt to things. You know, some people. Go ahead. I was going to say, some people just take time. It's like a flower, you know. Some grow faster than others and some grow slower, you know. It all depends on who.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about God, is that God has grace. And you know, with that grace that allows us time to play the fool and learn from being the fool. And it also gives us the ability to understand that God knows us. And, you know, that's the thing about God, is God knows, you know, what to put us through, how long to keep us there, and he knows how to break us out of those habits. One of the things that God will do is he'll break you out of those habits. If you keep hitting your head up against the wall, sooner or later you're going to say, "Ouch, that hurt. I'm not going to do that anymore." And you know, this is what life does. Life teaches you things, and sometimes experience is one of the best teachers. But I believe that if I can learn from someone else's mistake and not have to get taught personally myself, I think that's a leg up for me. So sometimes we have to get that lesson in order for it to really stick and hit home. I know sometimes as young men, we think that we're invincible. I know when I was coming up 18, I thought I could do anything. Nobody could tell me anything. I was my own man. I could make my own way. I could get out of anything. You know, that was the foolish son. But the wisdom of God, once we start studying and understanding the wisdom of God and getting around wisdom, godly wisdom, caring men, I began to understand that my strength and my youth wasn't always going to be the answer. Sometimes a quiet a person that doesn't say anything, sometimes a person that shows by example would be the better person. And it takes some time. And you know, we all mature, like you said, like a flower, at different rates. But we have to get to the point where we're on a daily basis turning to God. And that's what I want us to really focus in on about not being a fool, is to focus on the Word of God on a daily basis. If you can get the Word of God in you on a daily basis, the likelihood of you doing the right thing is more prevalent than the likelihood of you doing the wrong thing. And so I would say that it's a foolish person that doesn't get with the Word of God on a daily basis. Dr. Grant?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think that, you know, when we focus on the things of God, when we have the Word in us, when we are in relationship constantly with God praying, that when your mind is focused on Him, it's hard to get caught up in the things of the world. And that's where that conviction of the Holy Spirit comes, when we have that relationship. But sometimes when we make bad decisions, we make bad decisions because we're doing what we really want to do. And it's not even so much that we don't know what we're doing. We know what we're doing, and we know what we're about to do is stupid. But because of the end result that we think we're going to get out of it, we're just going to go ahead and do it anyway. Not realizing sometimes the cost and counting. You know, I thought it was just going to be this, but it ended up costing me way more than I thought that it would. But when we focus on God and we walk with Him and His Holy Spirit convicts us, it's like we won't have no peace. You know, I've been there with in my mind and my flesh and my body. I wanted to do this, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me alone, and I wouldn't have no peace. So I said, you know what? Okay, I can't do this, because even if you try, you know, you become so restless that you really can't enjoy yourself. I think that's one of the benefits of being in constant prayer. One of the benefits of constantly being in the Word is that you have the closer walk that you have with God, the easier it is to resist the temptations of the enemy.
Amen. Amen. It's like you said, it's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to apply it. And that's what I call wisdom. When you have knowledge is powerful. It's powerful. But wisdom is having the ability to know how to apply the knowledge. And when you have that ability to know how to apply the knowledge, that takes you to another level. I mean, we learn everything every day. I mean, every day we're learning stuff. Kids learn stuff. Kids know all kinds of things. But do they have the wisdom to know how to apply what you learn? When you can get that, that's where you go to this next level. That's where you begin to start experiencing God in a way to say, hey, God, I know this knowledge that you've given, but through time with you, with your Holy Spirit around men with wisdom, now I know how to apply it. And it makes so much more sense to me. Sort of like that package that you said where you dump out everything and you don't even look at the instructions. Now you know how important the instructions are, and then you know the wisdom to say, hey, I can spend this 30 minutes going over the instructions and get this project finished, completed, and looking good, or I can spend the next 3 hours fighting and fumbling and taking it apart and then go to the instructions and still not have a good product. And so that's the wisdom that comes alongside that says, hey, I've been down that road. I got the hat, the T-shirt, the pack, and everything else. But I know how to do this now. And so I want to share it, practice it myself, that wisdom is the key thing. And so in all my getting, I need to get understanding. I need to get wisdom, because it is so powerful that it can make the difference between life and death. And so when you have that ability to receive it, the word of God says in Romans 10:9-10 that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, if you have the knowledge of that, but you don't know how to apply that to your life, then you stand the chance of becoming lost and separated from God forever. And so that wisdom, someone said, simply you just have to open your mouth and ask God to come into your life, and He shall save you. But knowledge and wisdom, there's a lot of people that know Jesus, but there's a lot of people that don't know Him as Lord and Savior of their lives. And so that person, the fool, will ultimately be destroyed. That fool will ultimately be in destruction. If we look at verse 14 of this Proverbs 10, it says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And so in verse 15, it says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. And so there's a contrast between knowing what to do and what not to do. And when you know what to do, when you have the wisdom to be able to apply it, that's when you become rich. That's when you become wise. That's when you become what God wants you to be. Brother Jordan, you got anything on that?
I have no comment right now. I got no words to say right now. My apologies.
All right, Dr. Grant.
Well, I just think that you just pointed out the importance of wisdom and clarified the difference, because some people don't realize that there is a difference. You know, just because you know something, just because you have knowledge of it, doesn't mean you understand. And so wisdom brings about that understanding, and wisdom allows us to make sound decisions. And that's why it's so important to get wisdom as well as knowledge, because knowledge on its own is not enough.
Yeah, it's sort of like we were talking about with that rich person, with the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of the money. And so what you have to do is learn not to love the money, which will put you in the role of where evil sits. But you have to know the wisdom of how to use money for what it's intended for. Everyone needs money. I mean, that's wisdom for young men today, is that everyone needs money. Money's not evil. But when the love of money or money becomes your God, what happens is that sets you up in the seat of evil. It sets you up in the place where you abuse yourself, other people around you, to gain that money. And, you know, that's wisdom right there. When you understand that money can't buy you love, money can't buy you salvation, money can't buy you a peace of mind. And so when you begin to start learning how to invest in the things of God, you know, what happens is money is a tool that God will use in you and through you to be able to fulfill what he has desired for you to, the things he has desired for you to do. And that's a big one right there. When you have the wisdom to know how to use money correctly and that you control it and it doesn't control you, then that's a powerful lesson. Dr. Grimes?
I agree. Like, even when it comes to when you look at how people handle credit, a lot of people don't understand how credit affects your money and your ability to get money from the banks. But then you have people who have the knowledge of credit and, oh, well, I can get a credit card and I can do this and now I have access, but they haven't got the wisdom on how to use the credit best and the wisest, and so they end up in bad situations. You have people end up in debt. You have people that end up owing the creditors. And so, you know, like you often talk about Charlie Brown and how Charlie Brown will foolishly keep making the same mistake, you know. And I think that as we progress, as we grow in Christ, as we grow in our relationships with the Lord, it's important for us to continue to gain wisdom, to gain understanding, so that we don't make the same mistakes. The enemy knows what we like. The enemy knows what's appealing to our eye. He knows the desires of our heart. And so with that knowledge, he will continue to try to do things to get us off track. And so it's important for us to have a relationship. It's important for us to have understanding. But like you have said, it is so important for us to take and apply the wisdom of the word in our lives to make sound decisions.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's so powerful. Go ahead. Go ahead, George.
Oh, no, I said amen.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Amen says it all. You know, this has been a great session this morning. Just lets us know that you know, our decision affects a lot of people, and we have to turn to the Word of God so we make the right decision, and that we would continue to seek Him to learn how to use the knowledge that's available all over this world wisely, so that we can make our mothers and fathers glad, as the word says. All right, that's going to do it for us this morning. I thank you all for tuning in, your contributions today. Tell everyone about it. Tell them where iron sharpens iron on Sunday morning, where we're helping each other to get sharp and grow in the things of God. All right, we're going to close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again, God, for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hearts have felt. God, we thank you for your word and book of instructions in this Bible that lets us know the difference between being wise and being a fool. And God, we pray that you would allow us, God, to make sure that we seek your face and that we are the wise men that you have called us to be, that we would infect our communities and those that are around us in a positive manner for you. So, God, until we meet again, we pray that we have an awesome worship service today, that we would honor our mothers, God. You know, God, that we would ultimately give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. We'll see you next time on The First Word.